Genesis chapter 1, we want to begin looking. We're going to begin looking at the book of Genesis. As Pastor Donnie was speaking the other night about getting back on track so that we can finish our course with joy and finish the course that God has set for us. You know, it's a good thing to start right back in the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 1 this morning and verse number 1. We're just going to start by reading the first verse. We'll look at more this morning in Genesis chapter 1. But verse number 1, the Bible says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for thy precious word. Lord, even that one verse right there. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Lord, thank you so much. And Lord, this morning as we look to thee, as we open up the word of God, as we think upon thee, may our hearts be stirred. May our faith be strengthened and challenged, Lord. And we'll be careful to give you all the honor and all the glory. In Jesus' precious name, amen. It was December of 1960. Green Bay Packers. I'm not a Green Bay Packers fan, but I got to use them because the story's there. But the Green Bay Packers were playing the Philadelphia Eagles for the National Football Championship. The quarterback was Bart Starr. Comes down to the fourth quarter, and the game is 17 to 13. Last seconds of the game, Bart Starr throws a pass. His man catches it. James Taylor. He catches the ball, runs, and at the 9-yard line, he's tackled, and time ran out. The 9-yard line, he had 9 more yards. And he would have finished the course. And the game would have been won. Green Bay Packers left that season so discouraged and so disappointed. And they went through the rest of the winter and the spring. And they were just overwhelmed with defeat and discouragement. Their coach was a man by the name of Vince Lombardi. Great coach. So they get together the next year after about, I don't know, 3 or 4 months. And 36 grown men. National football players, professionals, they gather together in a locker room. Now, these guys have played, they've trained, they've played games and everything else. And they're thinking, you know, we're gonna step it up a notch. We're gonna go to the next level. We're gonna be better than last year. We're gonna go further. Coach walks into the room. Coach Lombardi walks into the room. Great coach. Holds up a pigskin of football. He starts off the season with these words. "This is a football." And he says, "We're going back to page one." And they began that training season by every one of them, from the coaches down to the players. He says, "Turn in your playbooks, turn in every book you have, turn to page one. We're going to start back at the beginning." And you know, you find that in the scriptures. The Lord Jesus Christ has died on the cross for our sins. He's been buried. He's risen again from the grave, and he's walking down a road to Emmaus. And there's these two disciples there, and he begins to speak with them. The Bible says he would open their eyes that they would understand who he was. They would gather together that night and they would tell the others, they would say, "Did not our hearts burn within us?" As he opened up the scriptures and revealed himself to us. And you read in Luke chapter 24 that Jesus Christ, you know where he took him? When the Bible says he opened up the scriptures, it says he took him back to the very beginning. He took them back to the beginning of Moses and the prophets. And he began from Moses in the very beginning to expound all things concerning himself. And if we're going to get back on track so that we can finish the course, I think it'll do us well to just go back and get into the book of Genesis. And because in the book of Genesis, there's so many foundational truths. In fact, in Genesis chapter 1, there's so much there. I'm going to try and, well, by God's grace, I put a note on my desk, simplify. Because there's so much in Genesis chapter 1 that we could think about, we could meditate on, we could look at this morning. But we're really going to just try and narrow it down for the sake of time, because we don't have 100 years to sit here this morning. But you know, yesterday morning I get up and I got in trouble because I get up and I rolled over and I said to my wife, I said, I'm going to get up and go get donuts. She said, why are you waking me up? But I went down to get some donuts for the grandkids, all for the grandkids. And I did well, because I didn't stop at the shack and have breakfast before I got donuts. But anyways, as I was driving down to East Lyme, I saw the sun coming up. When I say coming up, it was up already. Don't get me wrong, it wasn't that early. But I said, you know what? I've been studying about creation, Genesis 1. I said, I got to go down to the ocean. I just got to go down and see God's creation. And you know, when you stop and look at the creation of God, when you stop and just gaze and take time to think about that first verse, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And you stand at the shore, and I tell you, McCook's Point down there is a beautiful spot to get a glimpse of everything pertaining to God's creation. Because you stand there and you look out at the waters, and yesterday morning it was kind of misty, and so the ocean kind of just blended in with the sky. And as I looked at that ocean and the mist and the blending in with the sky, I said, you know, it might blend in with us to me, but God divided it. He knows where the separation is there. And then I looked I was looking at the ocean and I began to smile, because I was standing right at the shore and the waves were coming up at my feet, and I began to chuckle. I just laughed at the waves. Because you know, it reminded me of that verse in the Bible that says those waves can only come so far because God put a boundary on the sea. And then you look over and you see the sun coming up, and you think of how God created the day and the night. God put the sun and the moon and the stars in the firmament. And then you look, there's a massive piece of rock. There's a massive cliff that goes up there. It's beautiful to sit on. And the waves come crashing up. And I thought, my God is a rock, a solid rock. Jesus Christ is a rock. And upon that solid rock I stand. And then you look, and behind there were some trees that were turning shades of color already. And man, they speak to you about the faithfulness of God, don't they? The faithfulness of God, that the seasons come and go, and God is faithful. You look at the sun and it speaks of the compassions of the Lord and the mercies of God that they're new every morning. And I'm looking at all those, I'm looking at the clouds and I'm thinking, man, Lord, you could come any day. And then I look down at the sand. And Psalm 139 says this, that when you look at the sand beneath your feet, David said, the thoughts of God toward me, he says that they're more in number than the sand. How precious are thy thoughts to me, O God. And you know, when you just stop and go back and look at creation, your heart is just filled and just rejoice. I left there and I'm driving down the road. I got my windows on that old truck open up and I'm just yelling. I'm yelling out the windows. Hey, this is my God that did all that, folks. This is my God. My Father did all that. My God did all that. So this morning, I just had to get that out. So now we're going to try and focus in a little bit, because there's so much in Genesis chapter 1. There's so much. We skip right over it and we go to Genesis 2 and we get, listen, Genesis chapter 1, read it. Read it and just let it flood your soul. You know, it reminds me back a long time ago when Pastor Donnie was just a little boy. And before kindergarten, I was thinking about one night that, I don't know why, but I had to go to Home Depot. And I took, Donnie probably doesn't even remember. I took him with me. And I'm just wandering around Home Depot. And fathers, if you have to babysit, I'll give you a good plan, a good suggestion. Take your kids, or take a kid, take one of them, and put them in the cart at Home Depot. and just wander around the store. And if they see a tool or something, just throw it in the cart. Let them play with it for an hour. And so I did this. Do you remember this? That's good. So I took him in the cart, and we're walking around Home Depot, and I'm just throwing tools in, and he's playing with them. And, I mean, the cart was filling up with tools, and we got, and I finally found what I needed to buy and was going to buy it. And so then we went around, and we just started getting rid of all the, taking all the tools and putting them back on the shelf. And I finally narrowed it down, and I got him one thing from Home Depot. Now you're going to say, what did you get him? Well, I got him the least expensive thing. I got him a carpenter's pencil. And he was thrilled. He was thrilled. It didn't take much to thrill him. And after playing with all those tools, I got him one of those carpenter pencils there. I don't know how much, 79 cents or something. But you know what? Here's the thing. When we look at the book of Genesis this morning, we can see so many wonderful things. But I want to bring our attention to one thing. That just, it's not cheap, folks. But it is just awesome and wonderful and humbling and magnificent. And we're going to look at it as we go through this passage of Scripture. We're going to narrow it down. We're going to bring it down to you and me. And one thing that ought to just grip our hearts. And so this morning we're going to look we're going to look at three things this morning. First of all, we're going to look at dynamite. Dynamite. All right, think about what these things three have. Dynamite, design, and destination. There's your 3 points. Dynamite, design, and destination. Dynamite. Man, if you were in construction, when you hear the word dynamite, goosebumps. Your heart just starts pumping. I mean, it's going to be an exciting day. When your boss says, we need some dynamite, you know it's going to be fun. It's going to be great. It's going to change everything. Because when you put dynamite in the picture and you press that button, I tell you what, it does change everything, and nothing looks the same ever again. And you know, the first thing we want to see here is the dynamite of God's power. You know, the word power in the New Testament is word dunamis, which our English word dynamite comes from it. And you know, the first thing we see in Genesis chapter 1 is the power of God. God would say to Abraham, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Hey, folks, you know, in this day and age in which we live, we need to remember something. Our God is all powerful. Our God is the Almighty God. Mi Dios es poderoso, for you that speak Spanish. I got to get ready for Willimantic this afternoon. Our God, George is not going to be there, so I've got to do this in Spanish by God's grace. Right? But our God is all powerful. You just look, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Just stop and think about it. The power of God. I mean, we just read down through it. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. Man, it's like a stick of dynamite just went off. God said, let there be light. Boom! There's light. Wow. It goes on. Look at verse number nine. God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place and let the dry land appear. And it was so. Another stick of dynamite goes off. It separated the waters from below to the waters above. Bam! There it goes again. God lit the fuse again. Oh, it goes on all throughout the scriptures in Genesis chapter 1, verse 14. God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. Let them be for signs and for seasons, for days and years. Guess what? It happened. They're still there, by the way. You go down to verse number 20. God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly. You go down to verse number 24, God said, let the earth bring forth a living creature. 26, God said, let us make man in our image. And God created man in his image. But over and over and over again, God spoke and nothing was ever the same again. The power of God. But you know, the book of Romans chapter 1 and verse 20 says this. It says, the creation of the world. Turn there, Romans chapter 1. I want you to notice, it's important to notice as we look at creation. Genesis, or Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. God says, when we consider creation, when we look at creation, when we ponder and meditate and think about creation, he says, you're going to see two things. You're going to realize two things. You're going to think about two things. Look at verse number 20. For the invisible things of him, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, that's you and me, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. God says creation is meant to reveal two things. First of all, his, not just his power, folks, not just the power of God, the eternal power of God. The eternal power of God. Go over to Psalm 90 for a moment. Psalm 90 and verse number 2. Psalm 90 and verse number 2. The eternal power of God. Because God is eternal. God is eternal. In Psalm 90 and verse number 2, look what it says. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. God is eternal. God is everlasting. And it says creation shows us the eternal power of God. The eternal power of God. You know, you light off a stick of dynamite, and once you light it off, it's gone. That power is gone. That power has been used. That power is expended. But God's power is eternal. God's power is everlasting. And so you start thinking from the beginning of creation, you start thinking about the power of God. And you read in Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. God said, let there be light, and there was light. And you read of the power of God, but that's only the beginning. God's power was before that. But here we see the beginning of the power of God. And then you read, you keep reading through the Bible, and over again, chapter and chapter and story, you see the power of God. We could go through the history of Israel. And boy, you look at the history of Israel, and you know what you see? You see the mighty hand of God in the history of Israel. You see the power of God in Israel. You go over the New Testament, you read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, and you see the power of God in the Gospels. You see miracles that are being accomplished by Jesus Christ, the Creator, the Son of God. And then you come through the Gospels and you see the power of God in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You see the power of God in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that he died on that cross, he was buried, but that grave could not contain him. And up from the grave, he arose by the power of God. Then you see the power of God in the church. Man, you read the history of the church and you see the power of God amongst the church, and things happened. You go over to Revelation chapter 21 and verse number 2, and the Bible says, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, because the former heaven, the former earth had passed away. God's going to create a new heaven and a new earth. And you see the power of God. And it makes us realize the eternal power of God. Now, let me ask you a question. If God's power is seen in creation, and God's power is seen in the history of Israel, and God's power is seen in the gospel, and God's power is seen in the church, and God's power is seen in a new heaven and a new earth, why do we all of a sudden think that he can't do something right here in me? There's a disconnect in our brain, folks. He created everything. His hand of power is seen in Israel, in the gospel, in the church, in the future. And somehow, we lack faith to think that God can't do something here. Jeremiah 17 and verse number 32. Turn there for a moment. Jeremiah 17. Look what it says. Excuse me, Jeremiah 32, 17. Not 17, 32. Jeremiah 32 and 17. Look. Hurry. Look what it says in verse 17. Now think about this. Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretch out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. There is nothing too hard for my God. Now, go to Ephesians chapter 3. Let's connect the dots. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. And there's so many other verses, but I just want you to see the power of God. I want your faith to be strengthened regarding the power of God in your life. It's easy to see the power of God in creation. It's easy to see the power of God in history. It's easy to see the power of God in the Gospels and in the church. But that same power, folks, look what it says in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. According to the power that worketh in us. You know, when someone comes up to you and says, well, I'm always going to be the same. You know what essentially you're saying? If you're saying that you're always going to be the same, that nothing's going to change, you are denying the power of God. You are denying the character of the attribute of God. God says, no, I'm all powerful. I created heaven and earth. My power is seen throughout history. And for a person to say that God is not able to change my life, that God is not able to take my temperament or my character or my person and blow it up like a stick of dynamite and change it forever. You're turning to God and you're saying, I don't believe you're all powerful. God says, I'm able to do more than you could even think or expect. According to the power that worketh in you. That's the same power that raised Jesus Christ up from the grave. And so my first question this morning to you this morning, listen, stop doubting the power of God. That's not a question, is it? That was a statement. Stop doubting the power of God. Instead, let the dynamite power of God change your life. You know, we talk about problems. Everybody's got problems. We all got problems. Start talking about the power of God. Amen. Listen, I've been they never let me use the dynamite by myself. I always had to be supervised. Good thing, probably. I would have taken all the sticks and wrapped them all together and boom, boom, big, you know. Why do we got to do a stick here and a stick here and a stick here? But anyways, I've seen that dynamite take a rock the size of half, a quarter of this platform. I've seen it take a rock about this big and pulverize it into little pieces. No bigger than this. You know your problems? You think they're so big? God says, my power can pulverize it. Listen, stick of dynamite, it just blows things wide open, doesn't it? God's power can just blow things wide open for you. I remember, you see, here's the thing. I remember one time, I can't remember what cowboy movie it was. It was an old one, a real old one. But I remember these cowboys, they're in this fight, you know, a gunfight. And the bad guys are over there and the good guys are over here. And you know, they're shooting it up and everything. And all of a sudden, this cowboy looks behind him. And he looks behind him. It's one of the neatest scenes. He looks behind him and he sees all these boxes. TNT. And he looks and he just looks at his partner. He looks back. And all of a sudden, they pry open these boxes. They put their pistols down, or their little bullets. They put their pistols down and they start reaching in these boxes. And all of a sudden, they're hurling, bing! They're hurling sticks of TNT. Game over, right? Game over. Listen, when we let the power of God change our life, that's when the victory starts to happen, folks. And so number one, there's the power of God. The power of God, the dynamite power of God. Are you letting the power of God really change your life for you? Or are you just, I don't know, we're just hindering God. Listen, the problem isn't up there, folks. The problem is not up there. He is all powerful. If there's a problem that ain't getting fixed, it's not up there. It's in here. And you're not letting the stick of dynamite of God's power do what he wants to do. So number one, there's the dynamite. Number two, there's a design. Go back to Genesis chapter 1. It's amazing. It says in Romans chapter 1, verse 20, that we'd see his eternal power and Godhead. We'd see the person of God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And we see it in the design. Now, I'm not going to go real deep here this morning. You know, we go to Genesis 1, 27, let us make man in our image. I believe there's so much more in Genesis chapter 1. And we see the design of God, we see the Godhead, but I want us to look at the design that listen, God's perfect design. God designed everything. It wasn't happen chance. He didn't just say, well, let's start here and, oh, well, let's adjust over here and let's compensate over here. No, God is perfect, folks. God is perfect. When we built the school building, by the way, and I've said this before, but we built the school building. There's different ways that you can begin. And we began with this concept. It was called a design-build concept. And what that meant is you didn't go out and hire an architect. And then after you hire the architect, you hire a builder. No, it was everybody working together from the very beginning. When we sat down to start planning that building, we sat down with us. We would be the owner. We sat down with the architect and the builder, all sat down together and said, let's design and build this building. Do you know that's what God did? God's the owner. He's a possessor of all things, is he not? He is. It's a good time for us to get that truth under the belt. God is possessor of all things. He's the owner of it all. He's also the architect. Go over to the book of Job. Go to the book of Job and chapter 38. You want a follow-up passage to read about creation. Not only about the power of God, but the intellect, the mind of God, the wisdom of God. Job 28. There I go again. Job 38. I'm so excited this morning. I'm all Job 38. Imagine this conversation. Put yourself in this picture. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? You know, we think we're so smart, don't we? Don't we really? We get to the place where we think we're smart. And this is basically what the Lord is saying to Job. Job, you think you got it all? You think you understand it all? Look what he says. Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. You know, the Lord would say the same thing to us. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measure thereof, if thou knowest? Or who has stretched the line upon it, whereupon the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof? You know, just stop right there and you start thinking about the beginning, the design, the planning, and the wisdom and counsel of God in creating everything. It amazes me. You drive down, when they were working on the road 95 for the last 100 years, down around New Haven, it amazes me how they can design and plan for all these roads to fit together and then make it work, and it works, right? Now, if you've been in building or construction, and you know how difficult it is. You know how difficult it is to, you get an excavator and you're going to dig a big hole and then you're going to put the footings down and then you're going to pour a foundation and you're going to expect, or the owner's going to expect, that you're going to get that foundation right at the right measurement where it's supposed to be. And make it level. And right in the right spot where it's supposed to be. I have the hardest time untangling a tape measure. Never mind getting everything straight and level and square and everything else. But God, it says He laid the foundations. Think about it. When you think of the design of God, here's where I'm going with this. When you think of the design of God, how God planned that all out and then brought it to pass and then said it was very good. Let's go a step further now. He not only did that, you look at the history of Israel. He laid out their path. You look at the church, He laid out its path. You look at the life of Jesus Christ, He laid out His path, didn't He? God sent His only begotten Son into this world. Why? So that He might live a sinless life and pay for my sins on the cross of Calvary and die and be buried and risen again so that I might have eternal life. And once again, then we come and say, hey, we got this problem. You know, I get this problem. The same God that designed everything from creation on, the same God that designed the path for Israel, the same God that designed the path for Jesus Christ to save me from my sins, the same guy that designed the path for the church, the same God. The same God that designed all of time and eternity. And I'm questioning whether He can lay out my path for my life. He told Jeremiah, before you were formed, I knew you. I ordained you. He said in Psalm 139, I created you just the way I wanted you to be. That's why we heard this last Sunday night. Paul said, I just want to finish my course with joy. Listen, friend. He knew you before you were even brought into existence. And He knows all about your life. every step and every day, you don't have to fret and worry. He's got it all designed. I went down the other day with my car, and it had to go through emissions, and so the blessing of COVID, you got a 3-month extension. Man, it really worked out well for me. Anyways, so I finally go down. It was due in July, and I kept putting it off, putting it off. So I said, well, I got to get this done. My 3-month extension is running out. So I went I went down for emissions, and I pull up and go in. And they said, we're so sorry. The machine just went down just before you walked in. I said, great. They said, what? I said, no problem. The lady says, what? I says, listen, God's got it all under control. I don't care. He's got it all under control. He knew I was coming down. He knew it was going to break. Not my worry. The guy looks at me. He says, I want to tell you, I appreciate your attitude. I said, no, I appreciate my God. I don't have to worry about it. And I had the opportunity to talk with him. He's a Christian. I had the opportunity to talk with him for about 10 minutes and encourage him and just help him along the way. But I said, you know, a machine breaks. God knows all about it. So God directed me to go another place, and I had the opportunity to talk to someone else and directed. And by the way, the car went right through with flying colors. But God knows, folks. God knows. Stop fretting. Stop worrying. God's got it all under control. He's got our life under control. My life is in His hands. Not Allstate, right? My life is in His hands. I'll tell you, I was a little disappointed. I thought, sure, that if my car didn't go through emissions, I said, well, that's the end of this. It's got 266,000 on it. If it doesn't go through emissions, I need to get a new car. God says, not yet. Not yet. He says, your car is still good. And I said, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Because I had already been thinking about, you know, some new cars, a Corvette. No. But God says, I got it all designed, got it all laid out. Folks, this COVID didn't come as a surprise to God. This mess that we're in as a country didn't come as a surprise to God. And you know what? He knows the beginning and the endings of all things. So I get up in the morning and just trust Him to take me through the day. And so number two, there's a design. God's design. But thirdly, and here's the most awesome, humbling, fearful truth of Genesis chapter 1, the destination. You know, you read Genesis chapter 1 and you could say, where's God going with all this? Where's God going with all this? You know, I love driving down the road and once again, if you've been in construction, you know how this goes, but all of a sudden, you see some little flags on the side of the road or some stakes with pink ribbons on the side of the road, and your eyes just perk up. Someone's about to build something. And so if you've been in the construction field, you start driving that way a lot because you want to see what's going on. Right, Jack? You start going in that direction. And you start driving by, and you say, I wonder what they're doing. And then you see the machinery come, and they start to dig, and you still wonder. I get so curious sometimes I just have to stop and chat and talk with them and find out what's going on. And then they lay the foundation, you start to see and say, okay, what's it going to be? What's it going to be? And sometimes you can tell even as they start to build, you can tell by the shape of the building what it's going to be because some of these buildings are all alike. They're the same. And they begin to put the steel up. And you begin to, and you, but you say, wonder what it's going to be. I wonder
Wonder what it's going to be.
Now they know what's going to be. They've designed it. They've planned it. They're building it. They pay for it. And they started building it. And you say, but what's it going to be? And you know, the funny thing is they usually put up the construction company sign and everything else, who's financing it, who's building it. And then they get this little sign of what it's going to be, right?
Well, here's the thing. You read through Genesis chapter 1. And you come down to verse number 27. Here's the destination of it all. Let us make man in our image.
You know, the first 3 days, God created things. And then the second 3 days, God began to fill what he had created with his creation as well. And then it comes to a pinnacle. Let us create man in our image. Have you ever stopped and just pondered that? You know, the Bible says over in Psalm 19:1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the earth showeth forth his handiwork. The heavens declare the glory of God, the earth showeth forth his handiwork. But then he says this. God says this. This ought to really just blow our minds away. God did all of this and then said, I'm going to make man to reflect my image. That right there ought to just bring us to our knees. That the God of eternity that we have just spent the last 20 minutes talking about, the creator of heaven and earth, the owner, the architect, the builder, God, there is none like God. And God said, let us, God the Father, God the Son, the Spirit, let us make man in our image. You know, you can go down there, McCook's Point, you can look at the ocean, you can look at the sky, you can look at the sun, you can look at the trees, you can look at the rocks, you can look at the sand, and you can look and you can think of the glory of God, you can think of his handiwork. And then he said, now look at yourself. And greater than all that, I created you to reflect me. It's just, to me, if I was going to describe it in Spanish, I'd just say, wow. Because the word in Spanish, wow, is the same in English. No matter what, I was over there in Peru and I says, how do you say wow? And they said, wow. I said, great, learn that one.
But wow, that God created man in his image. Without going into the depths of that, we'll look more of that next week, but without going into just that fact that God created you and me to reflect him. Think about it.
God said, let us make man, verse 26, in our image, after our likeness. So God, verse 27, created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. There's God's destination in all of this. That it comes down to the end and God says, now, I've created heaven, I've created earth. I've created the waters, I've created light, I've created air, I've created all these things. Now I'm going to create man. Put him in the midst of my creation that he would reflect and bear the image of me. Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. Look what it says. Verse 7. The Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. No other part of creation apart from man, reflects the image of God. Now, we know that in Genesis 3, sin entered the world. It messed it all up. But what did we learn first? That God is all powerful. God is all powerful. And so what God, listen, it's not, and so what did God do? No. God is eternal. Before the foundation of the world, God knew all things as if they were right here today. But what did God do? Well, he sent his son. Go over to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Look what it says. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended not. Come down to verse number 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Speaking of Jesus Christ, he says, we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Look at verse 18. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Turn to the book of Hebrews just for a moment, because in the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, it says this, speaking of Jesus Christ. In Hebrews chapter 1 and verse number 1, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. The express image. In other words, the perfect image. We've sinned, folks. We're a mess. But Jesus Christ is the express image of the person of God. And upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Now wait a minute, turn over to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Let's just follow this through for a minute. God purposed in the creation of all things. He said, let us create man in our image. So in the image of God created he him. Sin came into the world, destroyed that image. Jesus came into the world to pay the price for our sin, so that we could be saved from our sin. But also so that through Christ, our life could once again reflect the glory and the person of God in Christ Jesus. Sometimes we get so fixed on what salvation is all about that we lose sight of one of the greatest pictures of it, one of the greatest purposes of it, is that where sin came into the world and messed everything up, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, and Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, every one of us. And look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, just a couple more passages of scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I want to read verses 1 down through verse number 7. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Notice it says, the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency, the power, may be of God and not of us. Now you just stop and read that passage over and over again, and you go back to Genesis 1 and you read it over and over again, and you put it all together, and you say, you know what? God's purpose has not changed. You know, when we built that building over there, when we designed and built that building, not only did we plan it, design it, but we designed it with a destination. It had a purpose. It has one purpose. And what's the purpose? What's the purpose of that blue building across the field? Huh? Teach, education, right? That's the purpose. The purpose of this room is worship, right? The purpose of the room down below is fellowship, right? The purpose of that building across the way, that little building, is diapers, right? But we built that building, we said that's going to be an educational building. The purpose is education, teaching, right? And praise God, that's what God's using it for, education. We designed it, we planned it, we built it, we paid for it, for education. This building is for, you know, there's a lot of buildings around the world right now that are empty. I drove by one last night down in Clinton. I think it was the old Morgan's, no, it wasn't the old, down in Clinton, where's Mrs. Hunt? Down, they have a new school down there called the Morgan School. Not the old Morgan School, but there was another. But there's a building there, it's an old school building, it's empty. It's a lot of empty buildings that have lost their purpose. They don't have a purpose anymore. Well, folks, Christ saved us. He filled us with the Spirit of God because He has a purpose for us. And our purpose is to reflect the image of God through Jesus Christ. And He says, and listen, I can do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or think. Go to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. This is God's purpose for you and me. We get so twisted in our thinking. What's God's purpose for me? Is it this? Is it that? Hey, I'll tell you God's purpose for you. God's purpose is for you that through Jesus Christ and through the transforming power of God in Christ, through the Spirit of God, His purpose is that your life would reflect the image of God through Christ. That's His purpose. Man, if you wake up in the morning and say, hey, I know the purpose of God, tell you what, changes the way you think about life, doesn't it? Look at Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 10. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. Renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created. Turn to one, I promise, one last passage of Scripture. I promise. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. One last passage of Scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Because here we see the power of God in Christ through the Spirit of God and the Word of God. God said, let there be light, and there was light. You come down to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and look what it says in verse number 17. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and with the Spirit of the Lord is there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed unto the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. And God says, as we open up the Scriptures and we allow the Holy Spirit to reveal and renew us and work within us by His exceeding power, He says, you will be renewed. You will be changed unto the same image from glory to glory. So don't you dare come up to me and say, it ain't going to happen. Because God says otherwise. God says otherwise. And remember what it says in Jeremiah 32. There is nothing too hard for God. Now, I didn't say turn to that passage. I just reminded you of that passage. I kept my word. But you know, you go back. Jesus took those disciples on the road to Damascus. He says, you know what? I died for your sins. I was buried. I rose again. Let's go back to the beginning. Let's go back to the beginning. And he took them back to the book of Genesis. You know, sometimes we need to go back to the beginning of the book to reestablish our faith in what God wants to do and what God is able to do. And man, I tell you what, you just meditate on Genesis chapter 1 and you'll get fired up. Your heart will start to be filled with just a flame of fire for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it speaks about His dynamite power. It speaks about His design. And it speaks about His designation, His purpose for you and for me, which is to reflect the image of God, the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You know, Coach Lombardi walked into that clubhouse, into that training room or whatever, that facility. He held up that football and he said, listen, this is a football. We're going back to page one. You're going to learn how to block. Bart Starr, you're going to learn how to throw the ball. You're going to learn how to run. Jim Taylor, you're going to learn how to run. Coaches, we're going to learn how to coach. Turn in your playbook to page number one. You know, that year, they went on. Now, some of you want to block your ears. That year, they went on in the championship to defeat the New York Giants. Sorry, Giants fans. But that year, they went on to have the victory. Why? Because they went back to the beginning. What does the Bible say in 1 John? This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. So my question for you this morning, has there been a new beginning in your life? The Bible says ye must be born again. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He cannot enter the kingdom of God. You must be born again. That's where it starts. That's where it starts, being born again by faith in Jesus Christ and what He did on the cross of Calvary. For you can't do anything to save yourself, but Jesus Christ has paid it all. But then if you are saved, if you're a Christian, if you're a child of God, can I just graciously, tenderly, pointedly, bluntly ask you, are you seeing the power of God transform your life to reflect His image? And if not, ask yourself why. Because I tell you what, there's no weakness in the person and the nature of God. He is all powerful. He's the Almighty. And He wants you and me. This is what boggles my mind. He wants you and me to reflect His image and His glory through Jesus Christ. Let's pray.